The book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. My son was born on February 22nd, 1995. We were living in Bardstown at the time, and the hospital that we had everything planned out perfectly for was in Louisville, so it wasn't too far of a drive up the road. Well, it happened early one morning when we realized it was time to get in the car and head up to Louisville. About halfway there, I realized it was February 22nd, and I said, "Michelle, we could name our son George Washington." She didn't laugh. She didn't laugh any that whole morning that I recall. But we got there to the hospital, and all was calm. Michelle seemed to be in just very relaxed, and it seemed like things were a ways off. And Michelle said, "Well, why don't you go get yourself some breakfast?" I kind of hesitated a little bit. And she said, "No, it's going to be a while. I'm fine. It's going to be a long day. You go get yourself some breakfast." So it seemed, you know, that everything that was going to happen was going to happen later in the day, much later in the day, or so I thought. Upon my return from my breakfast, which, by the way, I had called a good friend that lived in Louisville, and he met, and we got to talking, and we hadn't seen each other for a long time, and we got to talking some more, and boy, the food was good. And I looked down at my watch, and I said, "You know what, Bob, I really need to get going back to the hospital." So I returned to the hospital, and after my enjoyable, filling breakfast with good conversation with a dear friend, and when I got to the hospital room, it was not the peaceful Michelle that I had left behind. I encountered the screeches of my dear wife in the pains of what seemed to be an advanced labor. Now, her mother had arrived while I was gone, and she was standing at Michelle's side, and she turned to me and she said, "Where have you been?" I knew well enough then not to say anything, just to walk in humbly and be present. You know, there's a storyline in that writers use in a lot of stories of a person who arrives just at the right time to save the day. One of my favorite Christmas time movies, and this kind of will tell you how square I am, is The Waltons' Homecoming. Still one of my favorites after all these years. And it revolves around the return of the family's father, John Walton, who's been at work all week. And there's been a heavy snowfall and a fatal bus crash that prevents his return on time, or so it seems. And he doesn't arrive until the stroke of midnight on Christmas Eve. He arrives at just the right time. And Olivia Walton, John's wife, attempts to hold back tears of joy, and she asks, "Would you like some coffee? I've been keeping it warm for you." It's a celebration of father and mother and children that ensues, and gifts are given. There's the joy of Christmas that's realized in a household where joy has arrived just in time. It's interesting that Paul says in Romans 5, 6 that Christ came into the world at just the right time to die for us, to save us from ourselves. And that is one of the true messages of Christmas, is that Christ has shown up on time, at just the right time. And he's shown up on time to do his work, which began on that silent night of the Nativity. And then he endured the struggle of the cross, and it culminated in the resurrection, the new birth. And so ultimately, Christmas is all about the new birth. That's the Christian experience, the new birth of Jesus Christ. The new birth of the Spirit, which Jesus told Nicodemus must happen in each of us. We must be born again of water and Spirit in order to experience a new life, a new lease on life, which Jesus called the kingdom of God. And so the call of Christmas is that, first of all, like Jesus, we would all show up. There's a successful movie director who once said that 80% of success is showing up. Jesus stands at the door. He waits for us to show up and answer the door, to answer his call upon our lives. And the Lord, in search of a prophet in the Old Testament to deliver his message of good news, says to Isaiah, he asks, "Whom shall I send?" And the Lord also tells Abraham, "If I can find one righteous man, I will save the city." And then in the parable of the prodigal son, the father waits patiently on the hill. He's scanning the horizon, waiting for his wayward son. So the scriptures seem to be asking us, where have we been? You know, one of the most repeated phrases in the scriptures is this: the Lord is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger, abounding in love. And so we're told God is present and God is waiting for each of us to make room for the Christ child in our hearts. There's this question that hums quietly throughout the scriptures, and it begs that you and I quiet ourselves on this silent night, and we hear the calmly stated question of a loving God who asks you and me, where have you been? Your life is too valuable. Your life is too full of potential for beauty and for love and for excellence to remain apart from the joy and the peace of the Christ child. And so the Spirit invites you always to draw near, where you will find the lowliest shepherds and the most splendid magi, and together kneel before the Christ child and look into his face and feel his glory surround you and know his joy and his peace within you. And know, and I mean truly know, that there is a transcendent beauty, a transcendent reality beyond us that shines light into a dark world. There is a transcendent God who loves you and who has not abandoned you, but who desires that you draw near and enter his loving embrace. And so do we hear him on this silent night? Do we hear our Lord asking, where have you been? Where have you been? And he's waiting for us to accept this Christ child on this Christmas Eve. Amen.